Hello, this is Dr. Grover, and I'm back with Positively Good Advice. Today, I'm here to talk to you about rear limb lameness and some of the most common causes. Actually, primarily just about one of the most common causes. Anyone have any guesses? That's right, it's going to be about cranial cruciate ligament injury. I know that's a mouthful, but that's similar to an ACL tear in people. The cranial cruciate ligament in dogs prevents internal rotation and tibial slipping, so it basically stabilizes the knee joint. This allows the dog to be more comfortable when it's walking, running, jumping, any of the normal activities, just like it does in people. The biggest difference is that people usually injure theirs with an acute injury, like an athletic event, someone else landing on their leg wrong, jumping and coming down wrong, like in a volleyball game. They also tend to be more common in women than in men. In dogs, they occur in any age, breed, sex of dog, and they can occur in any size of dog as well. They're a little different because they're not usually an acute injury, as in people. Only, in fact, about 20% or less are acute injury in pets, whereas the more common is a slow, kind of insidious onset for dogs. It can be diagnosed in several different ways. Usually, history plays a big part, and the history tends to be an off-and-on lameness of one of the hind limbs. However, it can be kind of a sudden realization from the owner that the pet is lame as well, where it's fine one day, and then all of a sudden the next day it's completely lame carrying the leg. Diagnosis is made several different ways, or actually I should say several factors play into the diagnosis, because there's no definitive other than an MRI or going in surgically and looking. Some of the factors that help you to realize that there's a tear going on are a medial joint effusion, a cranial drawer movement of the tibia. Radiographs or x-rays can be very helpful, and then you can also notice muscle atrophy on the hind limb, especially in the quadriceps of the dog. Sometimes the way they sit can also be a sign or kind of a clue that they're having problems. Dogs that have problems, most of them require some kind of treatment. So when you start talking about treatments, it ranges for several different reasons. In dogs that are less than 20 pounds that are not showing any signs of medial meniscal tears, I will usually try treating conservatively at first and see if they're responding. Usually put them on a glucosamine and an anti-inflammatory and rest them. Dogs that are greater than 20 pounds, most of them will require a surgical repair. However, it does depend on their body shape and several other factors. Any dog that has a medial meniscal or a suspected medial meniscal tear will likely require a surgical fix to have a good quality of life. When you talk about surgical fixes, well, actually, meniscal tears, they happen in about 50% of the cases when they've torn their cruciate. Now we go on to surgical fixes. There are several surgical options, and my advice is talk to your veterinarian. Let them know what your expectations are for the dog post-surgery and what the goal is in terms of recovery time. That will really depend or limit your choices in terms of your surgical options. There are techniques such as extracapsular techniques, and there are techniques that change the entire mechanics of the knee joint. Extracapsular technique can be just a lateral suture, or it can be a tightrope repair, or it can be a fibular head advancement or any combination of those. The techniques that change the mechanics, most common one right now that people seem to like is the TPLO or tibial plateau leveling osteotomy. Another common one is the TTA or tibial tuberosity advancement. They all have their pluses and minuses, and again, you really base it on the patient and on the owner's expectations for that patient postoperatively. So I hope this clears some of the common rear limb lameness questions up for you. I really appreciate your time today. Thanks for listening.